This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who aspire to be. If you're a real estate, mortgage, or financial professional, this is the place for you. We'll explore innovative investment analysis, sales, marketing, and income-generating strategies for the most historically proven wealth creator, income property. Learn from the experts as they show you how to build a better business and a better life.
This is your host, Jason Hartman, and greetings from my very impromptu trip, which is technically a layover, a rather long layover. I am now in Helsinki, Finland. I've been here before, didn't plan to come here on this trip, but, you know, I got a ticket to go to Gdansk, Poland. And, of course, Gdansk is a very famous city. You know what it's famous for, right? Well, Lech Walesa, the revolutionary, right, who really changed the whole course of history and communism and Poland and everything, you know. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing because, you know what? Communism sucks. It's a terrible thing. And, you know, having just spent a week in Riga, it is amazing how you still see the vestiges of communism. And, of course, Europe is very socialistic. So you have all sorts of problems from that because socialism is a disaster as well. So anyway, it's a great place to visit. But, boy, I'll tell you, it still lingers, unfortunately, that toxic ideology that has really, it's responsible for the deaths of about 150 million people in the last 100 years. I mean, few things could be more evil than big government and communism. And to a lesser degree, it's younger brother that's not quite as ugly called socialism. They are all disasters in any one of their permutations. It's just a matter of degree as to how much of a disaster it is. It's great to be talking with you here today. I've got to catch my plane here on my long layover and get to Gdansk. And I have not been there before, so I'm excited. On this trip, I have not increased my country count at all. I hope I can fix that. There's a couple new countries I want to go to, but just haven't gotten there yet. And my country count stands at 81 countries so far. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting, and of course this doesn't have a lot to do with real estate investing, but we'll get to that in just a moment here. One of the things that's interesting about this is I think it's very important to travel. Obviously, broaden your mind, look at the way other people do things, and just these subtleties, these incredible subtleties that you notice that are hard to explain what, like, real immediate value they have to you, but they all kind of get into your brain and into your thinking, and they really, really do change you and improve your life for the better. You know, I've often said that I think everybody who wants to run for political office should be required to travel the world and own their own business and be responsible for the livelihood of other people. You know, when you've got to have that stress of making payroll, of paying other people, there's just no way you will understand how the world works until you really do that. You know, understanding that is like a real responsibility. And of course, you know, having children or caring for your family, maybe your elders, same thing. But, you know, doing it on more of a strict economic level, I think, is very, very important. And it kind of brings to the fore some of my thinking when I get into these debates with people on social media and so forth, political debates and so forth. There's a few things that I think are important to think of. One is think about the concept of time and the concept of age, right? And if you are 10 years older than somebody else, and if you are an active, engaged, curious person who is engaged in life, who is seeking knowledge and seeking experience, think about it. Every day you got up and you read articles, and every week or every month you read books, and you listen to podcasts, and you have conversations, and you go on trips, and you have new experiences and new thoughts that expand your mind, in just 10 years, you have, or that other person has over you, whichever way you want to look at it, if they're 10 years older than you, 3,650 more days of experience. So yes, this is a message to respect our elders. Also, point that out to younger people who are younger than you are, because it is incredibly important. Now, certainly there are lots of human beings, unfortunately, these sad souls out there who live the same day 3,650 times over and over again, and 10 years go by and they've learned nothing. They haven't grown at all. They are basically the same person they were 10 years ago, and that is a sad, sad state of affairs. The other thing that I think that's interesting and important as a student of life, that hopefully we all are engaged students of life, is a long time ago when I was maybe 17 or 18 years old, and I discovered audio learning, and I discovered Dennis Waitley, Zig Ziglar, Earl Nightingale, and Jim Rohn, the four, you know, big mentors that really changed my life when I was a teenager, starting at age 17. I remember Earl Nightingale talking about the importance of vocabulary. And I remember I bought the entire Earl Nightingale library. I saved up for it, in fact, on it was cassette tapes, of course, from Nightingale Conant. This Earl Nightingale library was a, you know, came in a big box, and it was a whole bunch of these cassette programs, and I just couldn't wait to listen to them all. And I remember Earl Nightingale talking about how important vocabulary is, and how each word that we learn is a whole nucleus around which all these thoughts are built. And when I'm traveling around in these foreign countries, it's so fascinating because, and I'm no linguist, you know, I'm no expert at this. This is just a very layman's point of view. Understand that, just a kind of student of life type of view. I'm not an expert, but, you know, of course you notice that all of these words are so similar. And even if you don't, you know, speak the language of the given country, you can still many times interpret the words and know what they mean, right? Just by looking at a sign, you can kind of figure it out. I'm not much of a language guy, you know. I don't spend any time trying to learn a language when I go to a country anymore. I used to many years ago, and I don't know. I just, language isn't my thing. I'd much rather spend my time studying the economy of a country, the history of a country, you know, the geography, meeting the people, and, you know, I hate to say it, it sounds like the ugly, over-entitled American, what I'm about to say, but, you know, most people speak English anyway, so, you know, and granted, I'd love to learn some other languages, but I just don't think it's the best use of time. I think it's better to learn about other things. Now, that's the way I look at it. And, you know, everybody looks at it differently, of course. But it's interesting how you can figure out what things mean because the English language has adapted so much from so many other languages. It's really one of the richest languages on earth, if not the richest. It has, I think, what, 600,000-700,000 words in the English language, whereas French, Spanish, German, Italian have about 150,000 words, I believe. And that's because English just like adopts all these other words. We just kind of steal them from other languages. So it's kind of funny. But, you know, you think about that for a moment, right? And I talk, when I was doing my opening talk for Meet the Masters a year and a half ago, our Meet the Masters of Income Property event back in La Jolla, California, in San Diego area. Many of you were, of course, there. You'll remember my opening talk was on how you can't hear the dogs that don't bark. You can't hear the dogs that don't bark, right? And if you think about it, that language thing is kind of the dogs that don't bark, right? So we look at people who know a lot of languages and we say, wow, that is really impressive. And it is. It is impressive. I'm not taking anything away. You know, I'm just saying it's a it's a question of how you're going to allocate your time and your effort in this sort of pursuit of knowledge and this student of life thing. And if you spend your time learning another language, then that means you can't spend your time learning something else, right? So you can't hear the dogs that don't bark. Melania Trump, our first lady, I believe speaks 6 languages. She's clearly not an idiot, okay? Love or hate Donald Trump, you know, whatever you want. I mean, he's not an idiot and neither is she. Although, admittedly, Donald Trump sounds like an idiot a lot. Where does he get some of the stuff he says? Like, seriously, Mr. President, please grow up. This is not a reality show. You got a huge responsibility here. The biggest responsibility of any human being on earth is the American president. No question about it, right? But yeah, you know, you can't hear the dogs that don't bark. So if you close one door or you open one door and you spend your time, say, learning a language, for example, then there's something else you didn't learn because you could have spent that same time learning that. But that it's very important. Like when I was younger, I studied vocabulary. I had vocabulary cassette tapes in my car. I remember in my first year of college at good old Long Beach City College, LBCC, I took a vocabulary class, and it's just interesting to see how each word is built on another. So I guess my point here is I'm just echoing what Earl Nightingale taught me years ago, is that if you want to gain more knowledge, if you want more tools with which to think, then increase your vocabulary. That's really one of the fastest ways to do it, because every word has this whole bunch of thought built around it. And with a small vocabulary, you have a small number of tools with which to think. Okay, like some languages don't have much in the way of scientific terms in their language. And so these whole cultures are behind in the realm of technology because their language just doesn't have words for things. And so if you don't have words for stuff, then you can't know it if you can't name it, right? So interesting. Now, let's talk about real estate a little bit. Here we are way into the episode already, and we haven't even talked about income property, the most historically proven asset class in the world. Well, hey, today from Helsinki, Finland, I've got an offer you can't refuse. Are you ready for an offer you can't refuse? Here it is. So recently, we have revamped the Property Tracker website. It has a beautiful update to it. And of course, those of you who use Property Tracker, I'm sure you are enjoying the new look and feel and the new navigation of that program. It's really nice. And Fernando has led that project and he's done a great job on it. And Zach, our customer service person, is doing a great job helping customers. And Michelle, who you heard on the show before, one of our clients, she worked on it as well, and she worked really hard and did a fantastic job. So this has finally come to the fore. It has arrived. It is here. And we want more people to get on board and use it. So here is the offer you can't refuse. You ready? Are you ready? The offer you can't refuse is this. Sign up for Property Tracker. And when you do that, you will get a free 1-hour onboarding session with Zach. Okay, you'll get your first month free, and then it's $27 a month, I believe, is the current pricing through our affiliate program. And you, to do this, by the way, you have to go to jasonhartman.com, and you have to click on the resources page. Okay, we've got to make this a little more obvious. It's a little hard to find. but you go to jasonhartman.com/resources, okay? And then you just scroll down, and on the left side of that page, it says Platinum Property Analysis and Tracking System. You know what? I'll get our web developers to put something on the front page too. But when you sign up there with our affiliate membership, you get the low cost of $27 a month or $247 per year. And again, you can cancel at any time on that monthly program. But the hardest part for most people is just getting it started. Once you get it started, it's really quite easy. It's just a beautifully simple program to use. So go do that. Go to jasonhartman.com/resources, scroll down on the left-hand column, and sign up for the Platinum Property tracking and analysis software, and you will get a 1 hour free onboarding session with Zach. So he will help you get your properties into the system. And once you get it into the system, you will be hooked. It is great. It is a fantastic, fantastic system. And before we get into a little more how-to stuff, I wanted to also tell you about another offer you can't refuse, which you may already know this one. It's not a new one, but it's, of course, our very high odds of winning the Amazon Echo at HartmanEducation.com. That's HartmanEducation.com/contest. HartmanEducation.com/contest. Go ahead and enter that for the Amazon Echo, the full-size one. And gosh, I just use Alexa all the time. Alexa is the voice of Echo and the brain of Echo. So let's see what she says today. Alexa, tell me a joke.
Showing items matching suns.
Oh my gosh. Now, see, wasn't that embarrassing? Showing items matching suns. I didn't say that, Alexa. Usually you're so much better at this. Let's try it again. Alexa, tell me a joke.
Did you hear about the cannibal who was expelled from school? He was buttering up his teacher.
Now that is a sick joke. Oh my God. Let's try it again. Usually they're not sick like that. They're just very innocent jokes. You can even ask Alexa to tell you a dirty joke, by the way, but it's not going to be dirty. Just warn you. Alexa, tell me a joke.
What do you call a wizard in a frat house? An abracadabro.
An abracadabro. Oh, like a bro, like a frat bro. You can ask Alexa all kinds of things. You can ask Alexa to look stuff up on Wikipedia, to buy you products, to do all kinds of stuff. It's just a really cool app. And by the way, that was Alexa on my phone, which is not as good as the real Alexa on the Echo device. So there you go. Okay, so let's talk about a couple of things here. So speaking of Amazon, right? Now, Amazon is set to get into the real estate business. People are talking about this. This is the buzz in the industry. Amazon is set to battle Zillow for some online real estate services. We'll see how they do at that. It's just something to mention. I don't know what's going to come of that yet, but I wanted to just put that out there. Elizabeth posted an article in our Venture Alliance content group, which our Venture Alliance members have access to. By the way, our next Venture Alliance event is coming up in October in Palm Springs, California. Check out VentureAllianceMastermind.com. But this is a very interesting article, and this is about the cost of rising home prices and what it means to rents. Now, I have talked many times about the three dimensions of real estate, of course, and how rents and home prices have this interesting interrelationship, right? And how the market cycle affects those two sides of the equation, rents versus prices. You know, when all of the less informed, ill-informed, or uninformed people talk about the real estate market, all you hear them talk about is how prices are going up. But they've only got one side of the equation there. They're not talking about the entire picture. So guess what? Rental rates, rising home prices are pushing people to rent more than at any time in the past 50 years, according to a new report. A new analysis by Census Bureau data and the Pew Research Center found that more U.S. households are headed by renters than at any other time since at least 1965. According to a Market Watch report, the total number of households in the United States grew by 7.6 million between 2006 and 2016. So that's an interesting thing to look at. So in other words, there were 7.6 million new households in that 10-year period, 2006 to 2016. And remember, on past episodes, we've talked a lot about the shadow inventory. But then we've also talked about the shadow demand. The shadow demand for housing, very significant. So my mother, the extreme do-it-yourselfer that she is currently in California. And she is there to evict one of her tenants from one of her really old rental properties that doesn't make any sense from a rent-to-value ratio. We've covered this on past episodes, not going to go into it. My arguments with mom here. But she's there evicting the tenant, and she just got him out. And they, on the lease, said that only two people were going to occupy that house. Guess how many people they had in that house? My mom talked to the neighbors and found out the whole dirty thing. They had 10 people in that house. 10 people. Now, if you actually think the economy is roaring and improving, it's not what it seems to be. Okay, I have said many times that over the past several decades, the wealth of America is largely an illusion. Okay, people always talk about, oh, America's the wealthiest country in the world. Well, let me tell you, a lot of it is an illusion. Not all of it, not all of it, but a lot of it is, okay? It's built on the central banking cartel and the way they just manipulate money, create money out of thin air, blow up credit bubbles so that there is this illusion of wealth, okay? Now, it's not all an illusion. Obviously, some of it is real. I'm just saying that it has a multiplier effect. Well, hey, that's what they call it. Fractional reserve banking and fractional reserve lending. It's, of course, it has a multiplier. By definition, it has a multiplier. Okay, that's not a secret anymore. But the thing you've got to understand is that many people are left behind, and the middle class is just getting decimated. And, you know, this is one of my big whys. I was talking to Elizabeth about this on Voxer the other day. And, you know, the middle class, like, this is my thing, okay? This is really, if you want to know what gets me up every day and why I do what I do, is because I want to save the middle class, okay? I don't want to live in a banana republic. Okay, I want to live in a country with a large, in a world, not a country, a world with a large middle class. Because when you have a large middle class, you have stability. And that is a very nice thing. You go to all these banana republics. No, not the clothing store, by the way, but I really like Banana Republic. It's one of my favorite clothing stores, just so you know. And if we have a few minutes, I want to get to that packing stuff. A few of you asked me about that. I teased about that on the last episode. A Banana Republic is where you have the very rich, small number of those, of course, and the very poor. And a large number of those. And you have a very, very small middle class. And guess what? In places like that, in Belize, in Costa Rica, in Nicaragua, and every other crap hole around the world, okay, you have razor barbed wire, you have bars on the windows, and the people with money are basically living in their own prisons. How that doesn't sound like any fun to me. I mean, think about it just from the perspective of kidnapping. Kidnapping. Yeah, kidnapping. Okay. In the U.S., you can walk around and you can show off your wealth. You can be a conspicuous consumer, and there's not a big likelihood that you're going to be kidnapped. Now, it certainly could happen, but it's not common, right? But you try doing that in some countries. Try doing that in Colombia, for example. Now, Colombia's cleaned up a lot of that mess, but try doing it in Mexico, okay? You make yourself a target, okay? And you're playing with your life. Very, very dangerous. So a big middle class is a good, good thing. So when you have 10 people living in my mom's rental property, when you have the households that grew by 7.6 million and the rents being at the highest they've been in 5 decades, in 50 years, the homeownership rate declining, which actually I think is just fine. I don't have a problem with that. I think the homeownership rate is still too high. I know most people would say, I'm nuts. What are you kidding me? That's a terrible thing. Why would you say that? Hey, look, folks, wake up. Not everybody's meant to own a house. Big deal. Renting can be a fine thing to do as long as there's some reasonably priced housing available for you. And of course, you see, with more regulation, we get constricted supply. You see that all over Europe, of course, where you've got this, you know, people live in these little tiny crappy flats and they drive crappy little cars and have a lower standard of living than Americans do because more regulation. There's less of it in America, but there's still too much of it in America, okay? And so that's the battle that will be fought and debated and argued about virtually forever. But yeah, an interesting article. So percentage of households renting was just over 31% in 2006. By 2016, it had risen to nearly 37%, according to MarketWatch. Certain demographic groups, such as young adults, non-whites, and lesser educated, have historically been more likely to rent than others, Pew Research said. However, rental rates have also increased among some groups that have traditionally been less likely to rent, including whites and middle-aged adults. Well, hey, I'm a renter. I own lots of rental properties that other people rent from me, but I rent. I like the flexibility. It's a great deal. Rent a high-end home for yourself and own lots of lower-end properties that other people rent from you. That's the perfect arbitrage. That's the perfect side of the equation. Given skyrocketing home prices, that's perhaps unsurprising, according to MarketWatch. Just 45% of renters can afford the payments on a median-priced home in their area. In really pricey areas like the West Coast, Florida, the Northeast, as few as 10% of renters, on average, can afford mortgage payments on a median-priced home. Wow, that's pretty scary, actually. Adults, the article goes on to say, adults under 35 are the most likely of all age groups to rent instead of own, according to MarketWatch. Last year, 65% of all households headed by people in that age group, meaning under 35, were renting. In 2006, the number was 56%. Okay, so you see, in basically 10 years, it went from 56% to 65%. That's a huge increase in just 10 short years. Rental rates have also gone up among Gen Xers. Okay, so they're talking about Gen Y, the under 35 group, the Gen Xer. I'm a Gen Xer, technically. I did make it into that cohort, thankfully. I don't have to call myself a baby boomer. Still a Gen Xer, okay? Among older baby boomers and other senior citizens, those 65 and older, the rental rate has remained steady at around 20%, MarketWatch reported. So, folks, I'm telling you, the demographics coming at the rental housing market in the next decade are nothing short of phenomenal. And guess what? I've been saying that for about 5 years. Back when I started saying it 5 years ago, I probably should have said the demographics coming at the rental housing market in the next 15 years are nothing short of phenomenal. Because if you ask me, you know, by looking at the age demographics, the economy in general, the Gen Yers that saw their parents get burned in the Great Recession, the rental market's going to be phenomenal for another decade. Okay, you should ride this wave easily until 2027. Okay, it's an amazing time to be a real estate investor, and it's also an amazing time to be alive. Happy investing. Go to hartmaneducation.com/contest to enter the Amazon Echo contest. Your odds are very good of winning. So do that. And then also make sure you go to jasonhartman.com/resources and sign up for Property Tracker and get your one free hour with Zach, who will onboard you, help you get all set up in Property Tracker. And you'll absolutely love it. It's a must for real estate investors. Anyway, thanks for listening. Happy travels. Happy investing. Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guests' opinions are their own,
And if you require specific legal or tax advice, or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.